Hi, I'm Tim Cole. I'm the author of the book Wild Wild Web, which contains a chapter called 10 Things the Wild West Teaches Us. In the course of writing this book, I have attempted to show the many parallels between the short and violent age of the Wild West and the no less rough and stormy early days of the World Wide Web. Early days which are still with us, because in historic terms, the web has only been around for the blink of an eye, even if you measure it in internet years, which are almost the same as dog years. We all need to constantly remind ourselves that this is only the beginning of a long and turbulent journey, and it is up to us to shape the course and determine, if there is one, the final destination. To get there, it will require plenty of effort. We need to correct the mistakes we made and tame the beasts that we have nurtured at our bosoms. Here, of course, I'm talking about GAFA, Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, and their ilk, monster companies that have managed to amass more power over our lives than any before in the history of the world. They must be pruned back, and probably broken up, for the good of mankind, because they are leading us into an Eloi-like existence that would be hard to distinguish from slavery. And the worst thing is that we are in the process of self-abdication. Neither machines nor GAFA want to take power over us. We are in danger of simply handing over that power without a struggle. I want to offer here a list of 10 lessons I believe we all should learn from how the West was won in order to shape a better future for us, the citizens of the digital age. And I firmly believe that we, too, will win in the end. First, in the stormy days of 68, the slogan we marched under was, "Destroy what destroys you." In light of the excessive power of GAFA and the others, it will be important for the future of humanity to rein them in, probably to break them up, or even destroy them if they put up too much resistance. In the cases of Google and its parent company Alphabet and Facebook, the historic precedents are crystal clear. Standard Oil and AT&T needed to be dismantled, like pruning back an apple tree grown into disarray. This will result in dozens of independent companies, each dealing with a different aspect of technology, each presumably capable of holding its own in a competitive market without needing to hold on to the apron strings of a gigantic corporate parent, wildly exchanging tons of personal data from entirely different businesses that just happen to belong under one roof. Second, the World Wide Web and its major players need adult supervision. There are enough suggestions making the rounds, from a digital rights board to a kind of quality label, preferably issued by a private-public partnership. One example of such a body is the German TÜV, which for the past 100 years has been tasked with certifying the roadworthiness of cars and trucks. Victor Meyer-Schoenberger, an Austrian-born legalist and head of the Oxford Internet Institute, calls for mandatory data exchange, which would be graded by the size of the company, kicking in at somewhere around 10% market share. Above that, tech companies should be forced to share the data they have harvested from consumers with others, especially smaller companies, to create a level playing field and avoid stifling innovation, which would only lead to big companies getting even bigger. Third, society needs rule of law to function properly. It was no different in the days of the Wild West than it is today. Laws are the responsibility of governments. However, we also need social rules and principles that help us maintain civility and fairness among ourselves, without the need for any higher authority to interfere. In the early days of the internet, we, as users, made our own rules and called it netiquette. Today, the call for a kind of digital common sense is gaining volume, and we are all summoned to put it into practice. We will need to establish a new set of moral and ethical guidelines that can help us shape the digital future so that the result will be the kind of world we all want to live in. We need to communicate these digital ethics aggressively within our communities, in schools and universities, in training facilities, and above all, within our companies. I agree with Janina Low, a young philosophy professor from Vienna, who says that every large company should have an ethics officer, similar to the privacy officer required by law in many countries in Europe. 4. Laws are only as good as the politicians who make them. That was no different back in the Wild West than it is today. Helmut Kohl, the German chancellor who oversaw reunification in the 80s, was asked in later years what he thought about the data highway, to which he replied, "Road building is a state matter." Nearly two decades later, his successor, Angela Merkel, gave a speech at the opening of CeBIT 2013, in which she stated, "The internet is virgin territory for us." Yes, a civilized nation needs laws, but it also needs politicians who know what the hell they're about. The internet needs regulation for sure, but that will require skill and tact as well as the ability to proceed sensitively without falling into the trap of heavy-handed state supervision. If in doubt, the best course to follow will be self-regulation and relying on the power of the free market to correct its own abuses. 5. It took time to rein in the mighty robber barons of the Gilded Age at the end of the 19th century, so the race we face will be a marathon and not a sprint. Forcing the modern robber barons to abandon their pernicious ways and behave responsibly will be a long haul, and regulation is only part of the solution. So politicians, please proceed with caution and finesse, with only as much regulation as necessary and as little as possible. And most important, in the immortal words of Bob Dylan, "Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changing." 6. Just as the Sherman Antitrust Act took years before it was seriously applied to bust the trusts, we need to reckon with a long delay before the necessary measures adopted today or in the near future will lead to lasting effects on data monopolies and data misuse by the big tech companies, and thus to lasting change. All the more important for us to take steps now. 7. Everyone has to do two things in his life: die and pay taxes. That is, unless you're an internet behemoth like Amazon or Apple. Then you can construct complicated tax shelters abroad and park your money there to avoid paying your dues back home. These companies have stashed away billions, which could have been used to create jobs, repair America's crumbling infrastructure, provide universal health care, and in short, patch up the rifts in American society that are so very apparent in its present polarized situation. We must end the practice of taxing only locally. Tech companies must be forced to pay their fair share to the societies around the world in which they do business and reap gross levels of profits. 8. And while we're about it, what about the owners of the data these companies use to grow fat at our expense? In a certain sense, we all work for Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, by contributing details and highly personal information about ourselves for them to monetize. So why don't we have a say? A kind of digital workers' council? And why don't we get our just reward at the end of the year, like an employee payout? Of course, big tech won't volunteer to do this, so we need to put on pressure. The best way to achieve leverage would be solidarity. Why don't we join together and create user unions at Google, Facebook, and the others? 9. What if they refuse? Then maybe we will eventually have to take to the streets to demand our rights. mass demonstrations work, as the example of those against ACTA, SOPA, and PIPA proved in 2012, when the internet went on strike, and all three copyright infringement acts attempting to impose censorship through obsolete ideas about copyright were derailed by public protests. We netizens are more powerful than we think, and we will need to flex our muscles when the time comes. Finally, 10. This struggle must result in a rethinking of our social norms and values. Greed is cool is not the slogan we need to create growth and prosperity for all. Our forefathers in the Gilded Age fought for social and economic justice and managed to drag the robber barons kicking and screaming into the progressive era and the age of reason, along with their cronies in politics and government. And like them, we need to persuade and, if necessary, force GAFA and co. to help us create an age of justice and humanity. Yes, this sounds starry-eyed, and society seems to be drifting in the opposite direction right now, but that is what it must have seemed like to folks back in the days of the Wild West, too. They have a lot to tell us. We should listen. This short list is by no means exhaustive, quite the opposite. All of us, you too, are called upon to play our part in determining where we want the road to the digital future to lead us. So finally, this book, which was lots of fun to write, leaves me in a more pensive mood than before I started. The job we face is daunting, but it is also doable. All we need to do is follow the advice of one of the greatest minds of the European Enlightenment, Immanuel Kant, who said, "Sapere aude," dare to think for yourself. Thanks for listening to this podcast, which was an excerpt from my new book, Wild Wild Web, What the History of the Wild West Teaches Us About the Future of the Digital Society. You can find more here on www.cole.de. Thanks for listening.